This is Christoph Kassoun, and you're listening to Navigating Diversity, where we explore how human beings differ, yet can find ways to relate to one another in an increasingly xenophobic socio-political climate. Today, I am joined by James Pascali, a doctoral student in the Department of Political Science at Idaho State University. James holds a master's in political science, and his research focuses on intersectionality, particularly race and gender. So James, what is intersectionality?
That's a great question, Christoph. Intersectionality is the acknowledging of different aspects of identity. Typically, we see what we see with our eyes, so race, biological sex, and so forth, and we make assumptions based off identity. But identity is more than just those visual sorts of things. Parts of identity include like economic or socioeconomic class. Sexuality is an aspect of identity, and so forth. And so intersectionality is the point at which these identities intersect and make the individual that is you, you.
So let's deconstruct me. So when you look at me, what is my intersections?
Well, your intersection, let's see here. You are a person of color. So
yes.
That's the automatic assumption. But then based off of that, I can't really discern more from that unless I gather more information
about
so
me.
The big key factor of intersectionality is to not assume people's identities,
absolutely,
but allow those parts of identity to be to emerge as you get to know the person.
Right. And intersectionality deals heavily with oppression, right? The matrix of oppression.
Exactly. With the matrix of oppression introduced by Patricia Hill Collins, basically what that is that these aspects of identity that you have and the intersection that they have, they either compound or lessen the amount of privilege and or oppression that you experience. So for instance, if you are a person of color in a low socioeconomic status, let's say that you are LGBTQ, let's say that you are disabled, low education, all these things compound the level of oppression that you experience in society through the social networks that we navigate. And it can work the other way. You can be, for instance, a white cisgendered male, and that these things compound to give you a level of privilege that other people don't experience.
Intersectionality has been widely introduced as a concept among academics and activists alike. It has become a critical lens to explore how social inequalities of race, class, gender, sexuality, age, and ability shape and interact with one another. How do you think understanding the concept of intersectionality can help people in our own community to navigate diversity?
That's a good question. And it's one that has to deal with several different concepts. So intersectionality, there's also another thing called standpoint theory, in that your perspective of the world is essentially filtered through your identity, right? And that individuals can experience the same event, but because of their identity, that their perspective can be vastly different.
Right. The interpretation of that event is different.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So one of the stories I often tell is my wife and I going into a video game store and buying video games. When she goes, because she's a woman, oftentimes in those circles, she gets challenged. She gets basically that this isn't a space that she's meant to occupy, and so therefore people are checking her credentials. Whereas when I go to the environment, they look at me and they go, hey, that's somebody I can be friends with. He looks like one of us. And so when people come up to my wife, they're challenging her credentials of, do you know this video game? And do you know this video game?
Trying to mansplain to her.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Whereas if I go into the exact same space, it's more of a situation of, hey, let's be friends. And they try to communicate with me in that environment. So we had an incident with my wife and I in the exact same moment. We were looking at the exact same thing. And somebody came up and talked to us and said, and was basically going, oh, did you hear about the thing that's this same thing, but it's cheaper over at Walmart or whatever? And her initial reaction and the way that she experienced it was that she was being challenged. And in my experience of it was, this guy just wants to be my friend.
Hmm.
So then we talked about it afterwards. And it was interesting to see that, again, this is somebody I've known for 12, 13 plus years, experiencing the same situation very differently because of that variation standpoint. And the reason why I bring that up is that on the purposes of navigating diversity through intersectionality and through things like standpoint theory is that even though your experiences influence the way you perceive a situation, it doesn't mean that somebody else's experiences are not true. They're not factual.
Valid.
Mm-hmm. And that two truth or two facts can be simultaneously true at the same time. Two experiences can be true at the same time.
Absolutely.
And that's why it's important that in these discussions that we're having now in the public of, police brutality, for instance, or individuals that are being harassed in various eating establishments, that experience and the way that person felt in that experience should be validated through that sort of standpoint theory. You may be able to go to the same restaurant and have a completely different perspective. And so I think that's important to have that sort of cross-cultural empathy and understanding and recognizing that your experiences based off of who you are identity-wise.
Right. It's not absolute fact.
Correct.
Navigating Diversity is a weekly series that airs on Friday morning at 7:35 a.m. on KISU-FM. Join us next week as we continue to navigate diversity with an insightful discussion on microaggression. You can find all episodes on kisu.org/navigatingdiversity.